السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So alhamdulillah, we're continuing the series after a month and a half or almost 2 months of break. The last portion that we did was number 62. This is number 63, inshallah. And we talked about the dream of Atika radiallahu anha, the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the puppo of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the dream that she saw was in Mecca. She was living in Mecca Mukarramah, and she saw a man come in and make announcement for people to go to their death, to go to their destruction in 3 days. And then she saw that he had climbed a mountain, and he threw a boulder down the mountain, and it started breaking up into pieces, and every single home and tent in Mecca Mukarramah got a piece of that rock. A piece of that rock hit their home or hit their tent. So this is the dream that she had seen. She confided in her brother Abbas radiallahu anh, telling him the dream and telling him not. And he actually told her not to tell anybody. And then he went and told one of his friends, which was the son of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. And then the son told Utbah. And after that, it spread throughout Mecca, and it went to the ears of Abu Jahl. So we learned it was either the next day or the second day after seeing the dream. Abbas was making tawaf, and Abu Jahl called him, said to him, after you're done with tawaf, come over. And he actually mocked him in front of everyone and said that, you know, that it wasn't enough that you're the men amongst your tribe, your family, meaning Rasulullah claimed Nabuwa. Now the women are claiming Nabuwa. And he mocked him in this way, and he said that if this dream does not come true, or nothing happens on the third day or 3 days after the dream, basically we're gonna put up a sign in the Kaaba that you are the most lying of all the family, you're the biggest liars in Mecca. So he did this, and at that point, Abbas radhiyallahu anhu, again, this is a matter of honor. And it was just a dream, but they didn't know if it's going to come true or not. They didn't know what's to come. And they waited. And then on the third day, that was when Dhamdham al-Ghafari, he came into Mecca the way he did. And we know he was sent by Abu Sufyan to warn the people of Mecca of what was about to happen, meaning that Rasulullah and his men were coming to attack the caravan that they had set out to Syria. So we talked about that, and we know that right away the Quraysh started preparing for war, and Abu Jahl got 1,000 men ready within a day or two. They got ready, and they were possibly they were already preparing some kind of attack, so that's why they were so speedily got the army together. Allah alam what the case was, but they got it really fast, and they were ready to march out within a day. One thing I want to mention, few people who did not, one person who did not join, and a few others who did not want to join. For example, you have Abu Lahab, and it could be possibly from the fear of his sister seeing a dream, and him knowing that something might happen and some evil might befall them, so he was afraid to join. So he did not join the army. He actually sent someone instead, and the person he sent instead of himself was As ibn Hisham, so the brother of Abu Jahl. So basically, Abu Jahl's brother owed Abu Lahab money, and he said to him that in compensation for that, I'll forgive your loan, I'll forgive the debt, and you go in my place. So he agreed to that, and he went in his place. Umayyah ibn Khalaf, we know he was the evil person of evil leader of Mecca, the one who tortured Bilal radhiyallahu anhu and did all that he did. And one of the incidents I mentioned before, this is back when we were talking about the a couple of sessions ago, we talked about this, where Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, one of the people, one of the leaders of Medina Munawwara, he was visiting Mecca, and while he was visiting Mecca, he had a really close relationship with Umayyah. So they had a business relationship, and they were friends. And Umayyah told him, even though he knew that he was Muslim, and they were still friends. And he said to him that, you know, do you want to perform tawaf? He said, yes, why not? So he said, okay, let's go. And they went during the time of Zahira, meaning when everyone's taking a nap. It's extremely hot outside, the sun's out at its zenith. So it was a time where everyone would be, the city would be quiet. Nobody would be outside. So he said, let's go at that time. He took him for tawaf. They're making tawaf, and while they're making tawaf, Abu Jahl comes upon them and sees them making tawaf, and he recognizes Sa'd Radhiallahu Anhu, and he says to him, he starts basically saying to him that, how dare you come here and make tawaf, and how can you come here and do this? If you weren't with Umayyah, I would have beat your head in, or I would have done this to you. So he says this to him, and Sa'd Radhiallahu Anhu, again, he's no less of a leader. He's also one of the leaders of his tribe, and he responded back to Abu Jahl in the same harsh tone. And Umayyah told Sa'd Radhiallahu Anhu that, know who you are talking to. This is Abu Jahl. He's one of the leaders of our people. So don't talk to him like this. Sa'd turns to Umayyah, and he says to him, and you, Umayyah, I've heard myself, the Prophet ﷺ said that you will die at the hands of the Muslims. So Umayyah at this point, he says, did he really say that? He says, yes, he said that, I heard it myself. And Umayyah is filled with fear. Now he's filled with fear, and because they knew the Prophet ﷺ was Sadiq al-Amin. They knew that he doesn't tell a lie. So he was filled with fear, and this fear continued until the day of Badr, or the preparation of Badr, and that he was just scared out of his mind. He knew that if I go out, I'm going to die. And his wife told him too. She was afraid too that he's going to die. She said, don't go. Don't go to the wards. Make some excuse. Say you're sick or whatever. Try not to get it. But he tried. But one of the problems was Abu Jahl was pushing everyone to get ready. And one of the things he did when he found out that Umayyah said, I'm not going to go, he went and got some saffron. Saffron is like a yellowish thing that women use for perfume, and they use it for getting, like weddings and that kind of stuff. So Abu Jahl went and got that, and he started sprinkling and throwing it on Umayyah, saying that you are like the women, you want to stay home. So basically, here, just take this saffron, threw it on him, and said that, go ahead, you stay home. So he basically ridiculed him and mocked him in this way. And Umayyah, out of embarrassment, said, okay, I'll go. And he got ready to go. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah also was a person who did not want to go. And he was telling the people that, let's not go. How are we going to be able to? And actually, he talks more even later. But at that point, he didn't want to go. He tried to get out of it. He was also kind of compelled to go to the battle. Now, and we'll talk about what Utbah ibn Rabi'ah says at the battleground at Badr. Again, trying to stop the war, trying to stop the people, come to their senses, let's go back to Mecca, and not. We'll talk about that inshallah next week. So, one of the things back in before this, so we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ was departing from Medina Munawwara. And when he was departing from Medina Munawwara, that was as soon as he found out the intelligence from the two spies that he had sent. Now, they came back, and you could say around the same time when, maybe even before, but they came back around the same time or one day after the Dumdum reached Mecca and informed the Meccans that the Prophet ﷺ is going to attack. And at that time, we have on both sides, in Mecca and Medina, they're getting ready for this. The Prophet ﷺ actually did not make a whole army and did not do that. I talked about this last time, where the Prophet ﷺ just announced that whoever is ready right now to leave, get your stuff and let's go. And they said, some of the people said, well, my ride, my horse is in that area, or my camel is in that area, just give me 2 hours, let me go and get ready, or let me go get my camel. Prophet ﷺ said, no, who is ready right now at this moment to leave, then we're going to leave. And they actually left. So they had no intention to fight. They had no intention to battle. But on the other side in Mecca, the people are getting ready. They got 1,000 men. They got, I think it was like 600 or 700 of them were fully armed with armor, swords, shield, everything. They also had bought a lot of camels to slaughter and to take with them so that they can have a party afterwards. And not only that, they took musical instruments and singers, women singers and dancers, with them. And they said that once we kill the Prophet ﷺ and kill the Muslims, we're going to have a feast and we're going to have these women, they're going to dance for us and they're going to sing for us. So they're preparing. And we know the number of the Sahaba was approximately 313 Sahaba. So they say about 313 to 317. But most likely the number was 313 Sahaba. Now, one of the things about this number itself, and so 313 Sahaba, and then you have 1,000 of the Kufar. Okay? And the importance of this number, we know that out of all the prophets and messengers, there's approximately how many prophets and messengers? How many were there sent? Approximately. What's the number? Approximately 124,000, okay, prophets and messengers. And out of them, there was 313 to 317 messengers. Rasul, yeah. So the Anbiya, all the Anbiya, about approximately 124,000. And out of them, the Rasul, the Rusul, were about 313 Rusul. And also the Sahaba, if you look at approximately about 124,000 Sahaba total, and out of them the people of Badr, the Ahlul Badr, was 313. And these were, this shows, you know, that they were special. The people of Badr were actually counted amongst the best of the Sahaba. And even after, and we'll talk about that later, but Jibreel alayhi salam, after the Battle of Badr, Jibreel alayhi salam asked the Prophet alayhi salam, do you hold any special significance to the people of Badr? And the Prophet alayhi salam says that yes, they are the best amongst us, best amongst us, Sahaba, best amongst us. And Jibreel alayhi salam responded by saying that the angels that went for Badr are the best amongst the angels of all the angels. So this shows the, you know, how special they were. So about 313 Sahaba against 1,000 Kufar. Also in the Quran we know, well, the number is not mentioned, but the army of Talut. Okay, so you have Talut who went to fight against Jalut, and King Talut, you could say, or in English, King Saul, he had 313 people left of his army after the test. So he had a large army, and they were going and traveling, and then Surah Baqarah, I believe. So yeah, when they are traveling, and then the Talut says to him that we're going to be passing by a river or a lake, and those you can do not drink from it except for whatever you can fit in your hand, like one or two sips from your hand, or do not drink it at all. So that was the test, and all of them except 313 passed the test. 313 out of all of them passed the test. So only 300, and the rest of them were told to go back. There, you can't join me anymore, you're not allowed to be with my army. The 313 that were left, they were the ones who went with Talut forward, and the and Dawood alayhi salam being one of them, they went and they killed Jalut and destroyed the enemy. Now, out of the Sahaba, the 313 Sahaba, they only had two horses and 100 camels. And these two horses were owned by Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, and Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu anhu. So they had the two horses and 100 camels. Now, the 100 camels were shared amongst the 300 plus Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ himself also. And we find from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu in Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, his musnad, that he says, "Kunna yawma badrin kulla thalatha ala ba'ir," that every three people were sharing one camel. And he says, "Wakana Abu Lubaba wa Ali ibn Abi Talib zamilay Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Rasulullah was sharing with Abu Lubab al-Ansari radiallahu anhu and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And we know who Ali radiallahu anhu is. Abu Lubab al-Ansari radiallahu anhu is the famous Sahabi. We'll find out more about him when we talk about the Khandaq battle and what happens after that when he tied himself to a pillar. I'm sure everyone has heard that story before. So they were the ones sharing with the Prophet ﷺ, and you know, as they're traveling, now Rasulullah ﷺ being the leader and being the best of mankind, being a prophet and messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could have easily said to them, you know, that you guys walk, and they would happily said, okay, well, you know, we'll walk and you ride. But the Prophet ﷺ was sharing with them. Now they were shy. When it was their turn to get on the camel, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, you sit. You know, we don't want to sit. We don't want to make you walk, and you know, we can't see you walk while we're sitting on the camel. So go ahead, and you can sit on the camel." And the Prophet ﷺ responded, and this is the response of a Nabi. This is the response of a Rasul ﷺ, that he said to them, "Ma antuma bi aqwa minni ala al-mashi." He said that you both are not stronger than me in walking. Meaning, I'm not weaker than you guys, that I can't walk and I need to sit on the camel. And wala ana bi aghna anil ajr minkuma. And he says that I am not in less of a need of ajr and the reward and thawab than you two. So meaning, I want the ajr also, and let me walk and let me share. And you see the humbleness of the Prophet ﷺ in doing that. And Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anh and his father, these are two Sahaba. They were, his father's name was Husayl, and they both were actually traveling from, from Yemen, or they were traveling from, because they were from Yemen, but they were traveling from, I think, Yemen or from Mecca, coming north to Medina, and they were actually caught on the way by the army of the Kufar. So the army of the Kufar, they caught them. And Hudhayfa radhiyallahu anhu narrates the hadith in Sahih Muslim. He says, "Ma mana'ani an ashhada badra illa anni kharajtu ana wa abi Husayl." So he said that I was not able to participate in Badr, except that me and my father Husayl, we had gone out. Fa'akhadana kufar Quraysh. So the kufar Quraysh, they caught us, meaning on the way back, they caught us. And they said to us, "Innakum turidun Muhammada sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," that are you going to join up with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and basically join his army and attack us or attack our caravan? And faqulna ma nuridu, meaning that no, we're playing innama nuridu ma nuridu illa al-Madina. We don't want to go anywhere except we're going back to Medina. We're going back home. And they said, "Fa'akhadu minna ahad Allah wa mithaqa," that they took a promise from us that you will not go and join Rasulullah ﷺ and fight against us. So Hudhayfa and his father, رضي الله عنهما, in order to be released by the kuffar, they made the promise and they said, "We will not fight you. We will not fight you. We will go straight to Medina." So they're going, and when they go and meet up with Rasulullah ﷺ, they told him the whole story. So he says, "فَأَتَيْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَخْبَرْنَاهُ الْخَبَرَ." We told him what happened and the promise that we made to them. So the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying, "فَقَالَ إِنْ صَرِفَ," meaning, "Go back to Medina. Don't stay here. Go back to Medina." نَفِي بِأَهْدِهِمْ, that we fulfill our promises to them. وَنَسْتَعِينُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and we ask and we seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against them. Meaning that you made a promise, so you have to fulfill that promise. You can't just go back on your promise because you want to join me in this fight, in this battle against them. But you have to go back to Medina, and you are not allowed to. And he was not allowed to participate in Badr. He missed out on Badr because of this promise that he had made to the Kufar. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ, again, Sadiq al-Amin, and the Kufar knew him as that. Even Abu Sufyan himself, he says that when I was with Hiraqal, Heraclius in the Roman lands, and he was summoned by the king to ask him some questions. And one of the questions they asked, Heraclius asked, he says, "Ayaghdiru Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam," that does he ever go back on his promises? Does he ever deceive anybody? And the response that Abu Sufyan, even the enemy, the response of the enemy. Okay, he's talking about his enemy. He's talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the response, he said, "La." That he did not, he does not go back on his promises. And then Hiraqal said, وَكَذَٰلِكَ الرُّسُلْ لَا تَغْدِرْ, that is how the prophets are. They never go back on their promise. They never deceive anyone. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ, Again, Hudhayfa radhiyallahu anhu coming, and then also the spies coming with the news that this huge army, three times your size, has left from Makkah, and they're coming to fight. They're coming to attack you, or to fight you, to, you know, meet you on the battlefield. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba, remember, they were going out to attack the caravan. They had no intention other than that. Now they found out this army is coming, and now the whole, you know, playing field has changed, everything has changed. So the Prophet ﷺ sat down with the Sahaba to do mashwara, to do shura. And this is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to make shura with the Sahaba. Again, you know, the Prophet ﷺ is receiving the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is in no need of mashwara. But he is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, that include them in the mashwara and get their opinions in the different dealings and in the different situations. So we see that it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make mashwara. Now he sits down and he asks the sahaba, what should we do? This army is coming. Now the situation has changed. And Abu Bakr and Umar radhiyallahu anhum are the first two to get up, and they basically tell the Prophet ﷺ, we are ready to do whatever you say, we're ready to fight. And the Prophet ﷺ is happy to hear this, he's pleased to hear this. And then after that, Miqdad ibn Aswad radhiyallahu anhu, he stands up, and before that, Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu anhu also stands up. And then Uthman, for example, radhiyallahu anhu, and other Sahaba, they got up after Miqdad radhiyallahu anhu. But Miqdad radhiyallahu anhu, the speech he gave, he says, ثم قام المقداد بن عمر radhiyallahu anhu. So this is about Miqdad radhiyallahu anhu, that he stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imdi lima araka Allah fanahnu amma'ak. He says that go ahead and continue to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you, the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed you, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering you to do, and we are with you. Wallahi la naqulu laka kama qalat banu Israel li Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We will never say what the people of Banu Israel said to Musa alayhi salam when they were saying to, when Musa alayhi salam told them that we have to go and fight the people of who were in Jerusalem in that city. And he says, they said, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا, that you and your Lord go fight. We're not going to go fight because these guys are big, huge men and they're strong. We're not going to go fight them. إِنَّ هَاهُنَا قَائِدٌ, we're going to sit here and wait. You guys go fight, you guys clear the path, and then we'll come and join you. So this is what Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salam. And Miqdad ibn Aswad radhiyallahu anhu, he says, we will never say what the people of Musa alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salam, but walakin idhhab anta wa rabbuk faqatila inna ma'akuma muqatilun. But we say that you and your Lord go and fight, and we are with you, we will fight alongside with you. Meaning we will join you in this battle. فَوَالَّذِي بَعْثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَوْ سِرْتَ بِنَا إِلَىٰ بَرْكِ الْغِمَادِ. Now, Barq al-Ghimad, this is a very far away place, like I believe it's the south tip of Yemen or some area like that. So basically, if you tell us to go to the southern most place, or the, you know, the farthest place in the earth that they know of, لَجَادَلْنَا مَعَكْ مِنْ دُونِ, that we would go with you, that we would join you in that journey, حَتَّى تَبْلُغَ, until you reach it. فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيرا ودعا له به. So the Prophet was pleased with this, and he made dua for Miqdad radhiyallahu anhu, and he said good to him, and he made dua for him. Now another narration of the same hadith, that Miqdad radhiyallahu anhu, he also said ولكن نقاتل عن يمينك وعن شمالك وبين يديك وخلفك, that we will fight along with you on your right side, on your left side, in front of you, and behind you. Meaning we're going to surround you by all four sides, and we're going to protect you, and we're going to fight with you. We're going to fight the enemy with you. And the Prophet ﷺ's beautiful face lit up, was shining upon hearing this pledge of the Muslims and how eager they were to join the Prophet ﷺ and continue with him. After that, Rasulullah ﷺ was looking around at the Sahaba, and he continued to say, Ashiru alayya ayyuhannas, give me your mashwara. So even though he had this pledge of the Sahaba, And many of them pledged that we're ready, and they're all saying together, we're ready. But the Prophet ﷺ is still looking around at the Sahaba and saying, Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. O people, give me your mashwara. And as he's looking around, one of the Sahaba from the Ansar realizes what the intention of the Prophet ﷺ was, and that was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radhiyallahu anhu. And he stands up and he says, Faqal, Wallahi laka annaka turiduna ya Rasulullah ﷺ. It's as if, are you thinking of us, or are you intending us? Meaning, are you talking about the Ansar? You want the Ansar to respond? Is that what your intention is? And the Prophet ﷺ says, Ajal, yes. And the reason behind this is that when the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina Munawwara, and he did the hijrah to Medina Munawwara, he made a pact with the Ansar, and one of the pledges that they made, they will protect the Prophet ﷺ within the confines of Medina Munawwara. And they will fight any enemy if they attack Medina. So that was the pact that they made, and the promise and pledge that they had made, the bay'ah that they had made to the Prophet ﷺ. But this situation was different. They had initially gone out to fight or attack the caravan, and now the situation was different, that they're fighting outside of Medina, and there's an enemy coming from Mecca, and this is not part of the pledge that they had made. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted them to give their opinion, not just from the muhajirun like Abu Bakr and Umar radhiyallahu anhum, and Miqdad ibn Aswad radhiyallahu anhum, but he wanted the Ansar to also give their opinion. So Mu'adh radhiyallahu anhu, he continues, he says, فَقَدْ آمَنَّا بِكْ, that we have believed in, وَصَدَّقْنَاكْ, we have tasdeeq, we have confirmed what you say, we have believed in what you said, and we confirm what you say, وَشَهِدْنَا أَنْ مَا جِدْتَ بِهِ هُوَ الْحَقِّ, that, and we have bore witness that whatever you say, that is the haqq. وَأَعْتَيْنَاكَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ أُهُودُنَا وَمَوَاثِيقَنَا عَلَىٰ السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ, and we gave you our promises that we will do whatever you tell us, and we will listen to you and obey you. فَمْضِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ سَلَىٰهُمْ لِمَا أَرَدَّ فَوَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَوْ اسْتَعْرَضْتَ بِنَا هَذَا الْبَحْرِ, that even if you tell us to go to the Bahr, you go to the end of the lands as they know it, and you go to the ocean, and you tell us to jump into the ocean with you, we will jump into the ocean with you. We are ready to go and jump into the ocean with you. And he goes on to say that, you know, you'll find us, that we are on the battlefield sabr, we have patience, and we're good, and on the sabr fil harb, meaning we know how to fight, وَصِدْقٌ فِي اللِّقَاءِ, we know how to fight, وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يُرِيكَ مِنَّا مَا تَقِرُّ بِهِ عَيْنَكَ, that maybe, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or hopefully inshallah ta'ala, Allah will show you from us what will make you happy and make your eyes, coolness of your eyes inshallah. فَسِرْ بِنَا عَلَىٰ بَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ. So he responds to the Prophet ﷺ like this way, speaking on the behalf of the Ansar, meaning he's one of the leaders of the Ansar, that let us, we're ready to join you. And then the Prophet ﷺ said at that point, Siru wa abshiru, that continue on wa abshiru, and have glad tidings. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ وَعَدَنِي إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ وَاللَّهِ لَكَأَنِّ الْآنْ أَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَصَارِعِ الْقَوْمِ. The Prophet ﷺ says that now continue on and get and hear the glad tidings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised me one of the two groups, one of the two, either the caravan or they will defeat the enemy on the battlefield. One of those two has been promised to me, and as it's as if I can see the dead bodies and the places where they fell of these the kuffar, meaning I can see them in front of my eyes where they have fallen. And then the ayah, the ayah was revealed of Surah Al-Anfal, where this is talking about Surah Badr. This is Surah Al-Anfal, and it's talking about the Battle of Badr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ. That Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you one of the two groups. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba continued. At that point, again, they didn't know at that point if they're going to be able to reach the caravan or not, or the army will come first, but they continued anyways, and at that point they found out that Abu Sufyan had gone to the edge of the basically the shoreline, and he had escaped, and they were too late, and the army had already reached by then. So we'll continue, inshallah, next week with some of the things that happen as they're preparing their army, and they're lining up their armies and getting ready to fight the battle, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair.